topic for discussion today is supposed to be the role of women in Judaism. The Gemara in the end of Kiddushin makes a statement that the world can't exist without boys and girls. But nonetheless, Ashrei Misha Banam Zecharin, it's the good fortune of one who has sons, and woe is unto the man, Oilo la Misha Banam Zecharin, woe is unto the person who has daughters. So why did the rabbis consider it much better to have sons than to have daughters? It doesn't explain the Gemara. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the statement that the Gemara made only made sense before the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. So if you have a son, he can take many wives and you have many more grandchildren. If you have a daughter, every woman can have so many children and that's it. So if you have sons as opposed to daughters before the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon, you can have many, many more grandchildren. After the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershon, the Vilna Gaon is quoted as having said, it doesn't make a difference whether you have sons or daughters. They also quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon that he was very concerned about the singles issue. There are a lot of single girls in Vilna in the 1700s. And he said, if he would have authority to, if he would be listened to, he would abolish the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom and permit Jewish men to take more than one wife, so that would solve the problem of the single girls. I wonder if it's that accurate. How many single girls could there possibly have been in Vilna? I don't know. That's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. They lived in the 1700s. The Gemara says when a woman gives birth, a couple has a baby boy. So if the wife survives, sometimes women used to die at childbirth. If the wife survives the childbirth, then the husband and the wife are both excited over the baby boy, so they should both recite the bracha. Atei v'hameit is a fancier form of a bracha than shachyon. Shachyon means that God did something wonderful for me. Atei v'hameit is made of lacherim. I share the hatovah with others as well. So the Gemara has this bracha, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, only if the wife has a baby boy. If she has a baby girl, it seems that you don't say the bracha. Some say that the Yisra Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he thought that today it's the same thing. I mean, based on that Vilna Gaon, in the days of the Gemara, before the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, people were much happier to have a boy than to have a girl, because they can have many more grandchildren. But after the Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom was instituted, so it's the same thing, boys and girls. Possibility. Women have a different psychology. The Gemara says, based on Psukim and Parshas Bereishis, Tav Mamesav Tandu Mil Mamesav Armalu, a woman will be happy to marry even a moron of a husband, even though she has 5 PhDs and he never finished high school, and he doesn't make a living, the wife makes a living. So the Gemara says, the woman will be happy, women are more interested in getting married than men. Yosemim Masher Yishwa Tzalisa Yisir Osalinosei. And women will even be happy to marry a person who is not as intelligent and not as elegant as they are. And the Gemara has various halachas that are based on these psychological assumptions. So there was years ago, there was an individual who considered himself an Orthodox rabbi in the New York area who declared that these psychological assumptions no longer apply, and therefore all the dinim that are based on these assumptions should also no longer apply. Rabbi Soloveitchik at that time gave a talk, and he explained, psychology always changes from generation to generation. The Shulchan Aruch recognizes this. Take for example, the Gemara has a din, if a woman says in the presence of her husband, Gerashtani, you divorced me, she's the manis, even though the issue as to whether a woman is an Esh Yisish or not should have been treated as a Dovah Shabbi Yervah, it really should require two Kosher Eidim. But if the woman states in the presence of the husband, you divorced me, she has to be nemenis because we have an umdin, a psychological ruba de leisa kaman, ein isha mi'isa paneho bifnei baila. A woman would never have the chutzpah to say such a statement in the presence of the husband if it weren't true. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra quotes from the Hagos Maimini from centuries before. The Ramah lived in the 1500s. Hagos Maimini is from the Balei HaTosfos. They said they're not so convinced that this umdina still applies bizman hazeh. And the Hagos Maimini quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that bemoans the fact that there's a Yeridus HaDoiros, that as the generations go on, there's more and more chutzpah. less and less elegance of the neshama. People are becoming coarser. So therefore, the Agos Maimony thinks that this psychological lumdin perhaps no longer applies to Zmanazah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, yes, we have a lot of psychological lumdinis that change over the generations. You always have to make a survey to find out. But he thought that these lumdinis, this psychological assumption that Tav Lamesav Tandum and Lamesav Armalu, that the women are more interested in marrying than the men, generally speaking. It doesn't mean each and every woman is more interested in getting married than each and every man, but generally speaking, he thought that this cannot change, because this umdana appears in Parshas Bereishis in connection with the creation of Chava. So since it appears in Bereishis, this is built into the nature of women, ontological. This is built into the nature of women, and this cannot change. People who were Masadri Gittin say that they saw it many times, that the wife has many graduate degrees and the husband never graduated high school. And when they're getting divorced, the wife is nervous and the husband doesn't see what the problem is. What is the wife nervous about? She made the money in the family. She made the parnas and she has the degrees and everything. The husband is nobody special, nothing special. And nonetheless, we see today that's still true. Tav lamesav tandum lamesav armavu. Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's clear from the Chumash Bereishis that the difference between men and women is not merely physiological. There's a difference in the Tzelem Elokim. The pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tzelem Elokim Bara Oisam, Zohar Nekeva Bara Oisam. So he understood the pasuk to mean that women have a different Tzelem Elokim from men. And it's for that reason he thought it's clearly so, from the fact that women are not behaving all the same mitzvahs as the men. The men are obligated to fulfill even mitzvahs aseh shehazman grom, and women are not mechuyavim. So he thought this is a clear indication that the Tzelem Elokim is different. I just came back, I was just in Eretz Yisrael for a week. I visited different yeshivas. So each yeshiva where I visited, somebody was nice enough to give me another sefer that they wrote. So one of the rabbanim gave me a sefer that he wrote, and he told me that he has a whole section on the Jewish view towards women. So I said, I'm supposed to give a lecture on the topic today. So he said, I should read his essay before I give the lecture. I read his essay. I don't agree with anything that he says. And specifically, he comments on a passage that appears in the Gemara in Nida. The Gemara has an Agadita. We don't have to take all the Agadas literally, but the Agadah is trying to teach us a message. The Talmud quotes a famous Agadah that before every baby, before every Jewish baby is born, the Malach teaches the baby Kola Terukula while he's in the mother's womb, and then the Malach slaps the baby before he's born, so he forgets everything. So this rabbi in Eretz Yisrael thought that the Malach only teaches the baby boys Kola Terukula. He doesn't teach the baby girls the Torah, because women are not supposed to be learning Torah. We'll have to talk about that soon. And he proceeds to develop a whole theme based on this. I think it's usually assumed, not like this rabbi wrote, usually assumed, like the Bala Tanya writes, that every Jewish person has a natural love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he calls Ava HaMasuteres, the hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bala Tanya talks about the two versions of the bracha, the second bracha before you recite Kriya Shema. The Gemara has one version is Ava Rabam, one version is Ava Soilam. So in the text of the Bracha, it's talking about the way God loves the Jewish people. So the Bala Tanya talks about the fact that Jewish people love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two types of love. There's an Ava Rabba, there's an Ava HaGluya, a love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's perceived, that you can see. And then there's an Ava HaMasuteris, there's a hidden love that every Jewish person has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam has this famous explanation at the end of Perek Beis in Hilchas Gerishin, that sometimes the Mishnah says that if a man is holding his wife hostage, he's married to a woman and she wants to have a get. So sometimes the Bezim will force him to give his wife a get if he's acting improperly towards the wife, if he's a mean husband. So the Bezim will beat him up till he gives the get. So the Gemara poses the question, but the get has to be given out of your own free will. If the get is given by Korach, it's no good. So the Rambam quotes the answer that appears in the Gemara in Perek Cheskos Abatim, the third Perek in Bava Basra, that every Jewish man has a hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everyone wants to follow what the mitzvahs say. Everyone wants to follow what the Chachamim tell him. So since a Chachamim tell the husband, you're mechuyev to give your wife a get, the truth is that that's what he really wants. When he says, I don't want to give my wife a get, that's not his true self. That's a pseudo-personality. That's not his real self. And when they beat him up and he finally says, I agree, I want to give my wife a get, then he's telling the truth. That's the true personality coming out. After they beat him up, his true personality comes out and he says, I really want to give my wife a get. So where does this Abraham Suteris come from? Where does this hidden love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the innate desire every Jewish person has to fulfill all the mitzvahs, where does it come from? So we usually assume, traditionally, that's what comes from the fact that the Malach teaches Kol HaTar Kula before the baby is born. If the Malach is going to, the Malach knows he's going to slap the baby before he's born, he's going to forget everything. So why does he engage in this act of futility to teach him Kol HaTar Kula? He's going to make him forget it. So the answer obviously is that something remains behind. Even though the baby forgets all the details of Kol HaTar Kula, and the baby's born doesn't know anything, but he has still the way to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Hashem Elokecha, is by learning Torah. So the Malach implants this Abraham Suteris into the soul of every Jewish person, the boys and the girls alike. We don't distinguish. We don't say it's only for the men and not for the women. The Pashto says that it's not correct. Whenever we perform a mitzvah, we recite a bracha, Shekhidishonah, the mitzvah, Yisav, Vitz, Ivonah. So the text of the bracha indicates that Kedusha means that there's a chi of mitzvahs. Kedushanah b'mitzvahs mitzvahs. And we say Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than the rest of the world. So the Mishnah says, and therefore certain mitzvahs apply. Then the Mishnah says, Ayoras hamukaf is chayma, have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells you which dinam apply, which mitzvahs apply to Ayoras hamukaf is chayma. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than all the other Ayoras hamukaf is chayma. The Mishnah tells you where do you see the din is so. All the 10 levels, as the Kedusha is saying, the 10 levels of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah tells you every step of the way, what is the halachic relevance? What's the significance in mitzvahs and davas and sense in Kedusha? No such thing as what they call in modern Hebrew, Kedusha artilois, abstract Kedusha. Someone has Kedusha, something has. Kohanim hat Kedusha means that they're mechuyev to perform mitzvahs that the rest of the Yisraelim are not mechuyev to perform. So, if we know that women are not mechuyev to observe the same amount of mitzvahs as the men, the women are exempt from fulfilling the mitzvah saseh shazman grama, so that should indicate that women have a lower level of kedusha than the men. So Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer, he thinks that that's not correct. The pasuk says right before Ma'amid Hasina in Parshas Yisro, Kosom elaveis Yaakov esageid lebnei Yisrael atem yuli mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. So the tradition has it, Kosom elaveis Yaakov, beis Yaakov is referring to the women. Sageid lebnei Yisrael, tell the men, tell the women, atem tiyuli goy kadosh. So the pasuk sounds like it's telling us that the men and the women are on the same level of kedusha. And in principle, because the women have the same level of kedusha, they really should be mechuyev to keep all the same mitzvahs as the men. The only thing is that the women have an exemption. If they don't want to, they don't have to. So that's why Ashkenazim have the practice. We follow the view of the Rabbi Natan, the Bali Atosus, that if a woman wants to volunteer to shake a lulav, a woman wants to volunteer to sit in silket to fulfill a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, we would permit her to recite the bracha. Svardim follow the Rambam that it's a chashash bracha levatol. Why should they say bracha? But Ashkenazim follow the Rabbi Natan. It's not a bracha levatol. And it's not sheker. How can they say she kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav tzivano on the tilos lulav? It's not true. The answer it is true. It is kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, and kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav means b'tzivano. Kedusha means you're mechuyev to observe mitzvahs. The women have the same level of kedusha as the men, and they're mechuyev in all the mitzvahs except that they have an exemption. If they don't want it, they don't have to. But if they do volunteer to shake a lulav, it's not the same as a non-Jew volunteering. If a non-Jew volunteers to shake a lulav, he can't say a bracha shekedushanu b'mitzvaysav tzivan. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of pointing out that the Gemara states that Eved Knaini is chayiv in the same mitzvahs as an Isha. Because there is a gzera shava lo lo me Isha. It says with respect to Eved Knaini, a chuf shalom nitan lo, and it says by Isha, because of lo sefer krisis. The Gemara has a gzera shava lo lo me Isha with respect to several halachas. One of them is that just like women are exempt from a mitzvah sesh, shazman grama, Eved Knaini is also exempt. So Soloveitchik pointed out, you look in the Rambam, you see that they're not the same. Evi Knaini doesn't have a full Kedushas Yisroel. The Rambam says, Evi Knaini is Yotz Mechlal B'nei Noyach, Mechlal Yisroel Adai Lo Bo. With respect to the Mitzvah says, Shaz Ban Groma, Evi Knaini is considered like a Goy. He doesn't have a Kedushas Yisroel at all. The Isha, a Jewish woman, has a full Kedushas Yisroel. Except that she's exempt from, if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to fulfill certain mitzvahs. But in principle, she has the same level of Kedushas Yisrael that the men have. So that's where Moshe Feinstein also points that. Moshe points to that based on the Pasuk. Because some of the Beisak and Beisak of the Bnei Yisrael tell me Yoli, to Yoli, Goy Kadosh. So Rejin pointed it out based on the fact that the women can say the Brocha on the Zman Groma. And the Rambam says, by Evi Kaini, Evi Kaini, with respect to Mitzvah, says the Shazman Groma is like a Goy. It's not the same as an Isha. The Tosefta makes a statement that every Jewish man should recite three brachas every morning in addition to all the other brachas on Shachar. Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Yovel, Shelo Asani Isha. So what Shelo Asani Isha mean? Shelo Asani Goy, that's the first level. Shelo Asani Yovel, and Eved is a half a Goy. And Shelo Asani Isha, Isha is a full Kedushas Yisrael. But still, a man is on a higher madrega. And what sense is a man on a higher madrega than a woman? So Tosefta says explicitly, the kavanah of the three brachas is that Jews are mechuyev in mitzvahs that the non-Jews are not mechuyev in. And Shelo Asani Oved, the free men, the Bnei Choron, are mechuyev in mitzvahs that the Eved is potter from. And Shelo Asani Isha is the same thing, that women are not mechuyev in mitzvahs to the same degree as the men. So that's the meaning of the bracha. Shelo Asani Isha does mean that we frown upon women, we look down upon women as if they're a lower level of human beings. Same level, the kavanah of the bracha, the people who composed the bracha said, the kavanah and the bracha is with respect to obligation to observe mitzvahs. The Gemara does not have a bracha for the women that should say Shasani Kirzot. No, this was a bracha that was composed in later generations. And that's why many women have the practice not to recite that bracha. There's a big issue debated by the Rishonim, the Rosh, in the beginning of Ksubis, and other Rishonim discuss, is it proper, is it permissible to recite a bracha that clearly was not composed by the Anshe Knesset Agdola, that's not mentioned in the Gemara. So that's one of the issues when a child becomes bar mitzvah. So the Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah, writes, in the beginning of Parshas told us, when the children become bar mitzvah, Yankim and Esav just became, Vayigdu v'hanorim, they both became bar mitzvah. So the father should recite the bracha. Bracha pateranim yonshe shalzeh. So most people recite the bracha without saying Shema Malchus, based on this assumption that it was not composed by the Anshe Knesset Agdola. It's a later bracha, not mentioned in the Gemara, and therefore it's not right to recite such a bracha. So that's why many women would not recite the bracha shalzani kirtzano using a Shema Malchus, because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. Rather, that bracha, that appears in the Bereishis Rabbah. Bereishis Rabbah was composed by the Amoraim. The other Midrashi Rabbah were later periods, not from the Amoraim. But Bereishis Rabbah is supposed to be the earliest of all of the Midrashim. So the Don Goyen feels he should not say a bracha that wasn't composed, didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. But he thinks this one did exist. The Bereishis Rabbah was composed by the Amoraim. And this bracha should be recited B'Shem Amal. So the question is, this: what is the meaning of this bracha, Shalsani Kirtzono? So many assume that it's like a tzidik adin, that the man says the bracha proudly, Shalsani Isha, that I have more mitzvahs than the women. The women say the bracha, okay, under the circumstances you created me with fewer mitzvahs than the men have, shall I say, like a tzidik adin bracha, Shalsani Kirtzono. There was a Rabbi Ferber who learned in Slabodka before the war. And then he moved to London. He was a rabbi there in London, and many people my age who learned by this Rabbi Ferber in London. And he published many svarim, and his talmidim enjoyed his svarim so much they reprinted them. So he has a whole sefer on the siddur, on the text of the tefillah. So he quotes some commentaries on the bracha Shasani Kirtzano, who have a totally different interpretation of the bracha. They say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was considering creating Adam HaRishon, so he consulted with the angels. That's what it says in Chumash. Nasa Adam Bitzal Meinu Kid Moseinu. In the plural. What do you mean in the plural? We believe there's only one God. There is no Trinity. So who is God consulting with that he's speaking in the plural? So the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels. And this is recorded in the Chumash to teach us a lesson that even if we think that we're brilliant, even if we feel that we're God's gift to the world and we're geniuses, we should always consult with others, even if they're less intelligent than us. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels, whether he should create Adam or Rishon, we should always consult with others. And the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Utshua Berov Yoitz, if you consult with others, you'll come out ahead. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he wants to create Chava, it says in the singular, Esala Ezekin Egla, he didn't consult with anybody else. But that's what this Rabbi Ferrick quotes from earlier Svarim on the Siddur. When the woman says the bracha Shalsani Kirutzo, no, it's not a bracha of Tzidik Adin. Okay, what can I do? You created me a woman, I'm potter from Sani the Mitzvahs. Now the women are proud of the fact, Shalsani Kirutzo, no, God didn't consult with the angels. He created me without a committee, without being discussed in the committee. But Shalom created me the way he wanted to. The Chumash has the din that when a man dies and he leaves a Yerusha, he has sons and a daughter, so the sons get the Yerusha, the daughters do not get the Yerusha. So some view this as if the Torah is discriminating against the women. And this was a complaint of the early Christians. The Talmud records this, that the Christians complained against the rabbis. The early Christians were Jewish. So they complained against the rabbis why they discriminate against the women in Yerusha. And they made it, they made the law that the men and the women should yarshan equally. This was this practice of the early Christians recorded in the Gemara, the end of Masechus Shabbos, was a carryover from the days of the Baisheni by the Tzedukim. The Gemara said the Tzedukim had many disputes with the Chachamim during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, but most of them are not recorded in the Gemara. So one of them that is recorded is this one, that they felt that the women should not be discriminated against in Yerusha, that we should give them equal rights. It's interesting, there was a great Goyen, the Ragachava Goyen, who died way before the war. I think he died in the early 30s. The practice used to be, in the yeshivas in Europe, everybody would send him a kashan learning, a shayla aloch lamaisa, and he would send back a postcard. He used to write many postcards every day, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky does a little bit, but Rav Chava was a bigger guy. So they used to ask him all kinds of questions. So they were discussing at that time the possibility of establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. The Aguda used to have their, every couple of years they had an international conference, the Knesset HaGdolah. They were discussing, the Mizrahi also was discussing the possibility of establishing a Medina. So they sent the Shaila to the Ragachava, what will be if we'll establish a Medina, we'll have a Knesset, we'll have a Jewish parliament, would it be okay if the parliament will pass a law, Dina d'Malchus HaDina, that the men and the women should get Yerusha equally? Because the women are always unhappy about this. Women always feel bad, that they're always cheated from the Yerusha. And the Ramban Shulchan Aruch says that there was a practice from the days of the Rishonim that a person should leave a tzavua halachic will that's binding, the see to it that his daughter should get some Yerusha, that you shouldn't feel hurt, shouldn't feel slighted. So they raised the question with the Ragachava, if we'll have a Jewish Medina, we'll have a Knesset, we'll have a parliament, would it be okay if the parliament would make such a law that the men and the women should yashin equally? So he says, Chas v'shalom, how can you have a Jewish government should make such a law? That's a carryover from the Christians. And the Christians, that was a carryover from the Tzedukim. This was the complaint that they had against the Jewish religion, that the Jewish religion discriminates against the women. If the women feel bad about it, the fathers should make a tzavah to see to it that they should get something. But to have officially on the books that there should be the chok, that the government should pass such a law, that's terrible. That's not right to have such a law. Why is there such a law that only the men get the Yerusha? So it was always assumed, because years ago the husbands made the parnasa, the women never went out to work, so the women stayed home. So when a man would die, he had sons and daughters. So the sons are going to need the money to support their families. The daughters are not going to need the money. The daughters are all going to get married. They didn't have such a thing like an institution of singles, that the girls remain single forever. They develop a whole career, not interested in getting married. The girls always got married, and the husbands always made the parnasa. So the pashtus says, because the men were always running the business and they had to make the parnasa, that's why the halacha says that that the sons get the Yerusha and the daughters don't get the Yerusha. Why is there a distinction between men and women with respect to learning Torah? The Gemara comments on that pasuk, "Lamarta Moshe as Bnechem, Bnechem will open a Sechem." So the Beis Halevi explains there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Beis Halevi, in the first volume of Shabbos and Tshuvos, in the Hakdamah to the Sefer, as well as in one of the Tshuvos, he explains that there are two aspects to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One aspect is that Liman HaTorah is a Hechsher mitzvah, Hachana, to fulfilling all of the 613 mitzvahs. If a woman does know Hilchas Shabbos, she does know Hilchas Kashrus, she does know the laws of Oinua, Mekach, and Memka, so she does know. When you go shopping in the store, when is it considered cheating the shopkeeper? Or if you have a shop, you're selling shaitlin, you're selling dresses, you have a business or something. So the women are obligated to learn all of the parts of the Shulchan Aruch that are relevant to them. Women have to learn the laws of Taras HaMishpach and Shabbos and Kashrus and ethics and business and so on, and the laws of Refuah. They have to know all the dinim that are relevant to them. So that's the men and the women share that in common. Liman HaTorah serves as a Hechsher mitzvah to fulfill all the other mitzvahs of Torah. Then the men, in addition to that mitzvah, have another mitzvah of Talmud Torah as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. We live in Chutz Lords, so the laws of Zroim are not relevant to us. Now they are relevant. They sell Israeli products in America also, so the laws of Zroim are relevant. But for many years, all the whole area, the whole section of Chelek Zroim, wasn't relevant to Chutz Lords. The laws of Taras are not relevant to us today. Everybody's tummy. So nonetheless, there is a mitzvah on the men, not only to learn Torah in order to be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs of Torah, the men have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, even those sections of the halacha that are not relevant to halacha. There is a kedima, though. It makes sense. We should give the kedima to learning things that are halacha l'maisa, so we should know how to keep all the mitzvahs of Torah. But after we've mastered that, after we know everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch, halacha l'maisa, then the men have an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, even those parts of halacha that are not relevant to halacha l'maisa. So that the women are exempt from. And why the men mechuyev? Why is that so? So that we assume Rashi in his commentary on Chumash writes in the pasuk, "V'yahavta as Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha l'chol nafshecha," we should develop a love for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim in the Sifrei commenting on the pasuk. How does one develop a love for our Kodesh Baruch Hu? The next pasuk tells you how. By learning the Torah, one develops a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because our tradition has it that the Torah is a collection of laws. The 613 mitzvahs, it's a collection of laws, but it's not merely a collection of laws. Whatever it says, you have to observe. Shabbos and Kashrus, all the laws you have to observe. But in addition to that, it's called HaMashal HaKadmoinah. The Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't really understand what Elokus is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us a mashal. We wouldn't understand the mashal either. So he gave us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. And the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel refers to the Chumash as the mashal HaKadmoni. Rashi, in his commentary on Chumash, on Parshas Mishpatim, quotes this pasuk, quotes the Medrash, "Kasher yarmah ha-mashal HaKadmoni merishoyim yetzi resha." So the mashal HaKadmoni is the Chumash, means it's a description, the Chumash, from the beginning to the end, is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu derech mashal. An outright mashal we wouldn't understand. We don't understand the lakus. That's a line that appears in the Kuzari. Ili yidaitiv hayisiv. If I would understand what a lakus is, I would be the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. The only one who understands the lakus is God himself. So we can't say, Reb Chaim Volozhin Eretzan, and Nefesh HaChaim, we can't understand even a mashal either. But the Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. So if one wants to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So when you learn the Torah, this gives you the ability to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question begs itself, so the men have a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the women don't have a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Why didn't God instruct the women also that not only should they learn Talmud Torah, the dinim that are relevant to them, that they should even learn those halachas that are not relevant in order to develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So traditionally, we usually assume that the explanation is because the women have a natural inclination to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take, for example, we have a custom, we have a minhag based on the Gemara, in the end of Masechah Shabbos, that men wear a yarmulke. Why do men wear a yarmulke? So the Gemara tells a story that a woman had a child, a boy, who was very wild and was always fighting with the other children, was always stealing and grabbing what they had. She didn't know how to control her child. So she went to the rabbi. Rabbi said, put a yarmulke on the child and he'll tone down. So she put a yarmulke on the child. Somehow it worked. This helped him develop Yerushalayim. One day the wind was blowing and the yarmulke flew off of his head. The kid went wild. He started stealing fruit that were growing on someone else's tree. He started smacking the other kids. So based on that agadata, we don't fully understand what it means. Based on that agadata, we have developed a custom that we always wear a yarmulke. The yarmulke wasn't that old a custom. The Maharshal lived in the 1500s. Maharshal was a contemporary of the Ramah. They corresponded with each other. Both lived in Poland. Maharshal complains about the fact that there's so many Talmid HaChachamim who know how to learn well, but they don't wear a yarmulke, so people frown upon them as if they're goyim. What's the matter? The guy's a big Talmid HaChachamim. He's a medaktik in mitzvahs. Just because he doesn't have the meaning that you have to wear a yarmulke, one should. Okay. But by now, it's already become... I remember I live in a neighborhood here, so I remember when I first moved into the neighborhood 45 years ago when I got married, a lot of the Yekkes didn't wear a yarmulke at all. When they davened, they'd wear a yarmulke. When they would recite Birchas HaMazon, when they recite Brachas, they would wear a yarmulke. The rest of the time, they wouldn't wear a yarmulke at home. And now, doesn't exist, that breed doesn't exist anymore. But for many generations, the Jews did not wear yarmulkes. When the minhag developed, it was based on that story in the Gemara, that if one wears a yarmulke, one will, it'll have it on a hashpoah on the person, he'll develop Yerushalayim. So why don't we put yarmulkes on the girls as well? By some of the reforming conservatives, they do the same. They feel they have to give equal rights to the women, so they have the women also wear yarmulkes. The women rabbis by them, they wear yarmulkes to show that they're the same as the men. So the answer is, it's a bush, it's a bizoyan to tell a woman to wear a yarmulke. We assume that the women have a natural inclination to Yirush HaMayim. We assume the women have a natural inclination to Avas Hashem. So we don't have to insist that the women are mechuyev to learn Torah in order to develop. After Hashem Lakech V'Hoyad V'Mahela, Liman HaTorah will help them to develop Avas Hashem. We assume the women have a natural inclination towards Yirush Hashem and towards Avas Hashem. This is how the Gemara says that on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was B'schus Noshim Tzidkonius Nigal Avas Hashem Mitzrayim. Because the men were worshipping Avodah Zarah. Men are always looking ahead for something new, to conquer some new mountain, to always some new angle. So the Medrash says, Halalo Abdi Avodah Zarah, Halalo Abdi Avodah Zarah. The Yamsuf didn't want to split for the Jewish people. So what's the difference? The Mitzrayim worship Avodah Zarah, and the Jewish men worship Avodah Zarah. Why should I make a miracle and split? The Rav Shalom said, no, B'schus Nashim Tzidkanias, Nigal Avodah Zarah. So Leitchi pointed out there is a Gemara in the end of Brachas, where the Gemara has a discussion of a possibility. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Rishon, it was created du partzufin. Adam and Chava were originally one body. Not that God took the simple reading of the pasuk, God took a rib or a bone from Adam and Rishon, Atzela, and he made Chava out of it. So the Gemara has such a tradition that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam and Chava were both one body, and he separated the two, he made them into two. So the question is, if Adam and Chava were one body with two heads, were they both facing in the same direction? No, were facing in opposite directions. Were they back to back or were they front to back? So this is an issue that's raised by the Zohar. The Zohar has such a tradition also, that Adam and Rishon was created du partzufin. And it's a question how the two partzufin were facing. In the Zohar, it's an issue. The Zohar says that the letter tzaddik in Ksav Ashuris has two heads on top and one body, so it's representative of Adam and Chava when they were du partzufin. So there are two ways to write a tzaddik. There's the Ksav Bes Yosef and the Ksav Ari. So the Ksav Bes Yosef that most people have, that the Misnagdim use, so the Ksav Bes Yosef has it that the two heads are facing in the same direction. Are you sure? Okay. And the Ksav Ari has it that the two heads are facing in opposite directions. So this is really the Vilna Gaon. So this is based the issue is based on the Zohar. If you ever saw the NCS white side, that's Ksav Ari. So something like this, it's decked and the two heads are facing opposite directions. So this is a topic that's discussed by the Zohar. So the Gemara in the end of Brachas assumes that the two that when they were created, Adam and Chava were created, two parts of, and they were facing opposite direction, not facing the same direction. Rav Soloveitchik was once giving a talk. He was once discussing this topic. What's the issue that they're fundamentally fighting about over here? That basically human beings get along with each other and they all face in the same Kodem Achet, Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. Were they really facing in the same direction? Or no, people basically never get along with each other. The basic human nature is that people are always separate, always individual. So he just made a comment. He said as he gets older, he gets the impression like the Arizal, that human beings, even Kodem Achet, never get along with each other. Everybody's always separate and always different. So the Gemara in the end of Brachas assumes that it was Du Partzufen, and they were facing opposite directions. The Gemara wants to know, when Adam and Chava were together, and they would walk forward, whose face was in the front? Adam's face or Chava's face? Chava was facing backwards, or Adam was facing backwards? And the Gemara says, no. Adam was facing forward and Chava was facing backward. So Leitchik thought that that's a basic principle in psychology that the halacha is based on. That women usually look to the past. Women are much more attached to the past and traditions than the men. After you'll be married for 45 years, your wife will remember every single thing that happened at the wedding. And she'll remember every single incident that happened with the babies. I have 9 children. My wife remembers every story that happened. And the men always look to the future. They forget about the past. They're not interested in the past. So that's why the men, halolo of the Avodah Zarah, halolo of the Avodah Zarah, in Mitzrayim, the men were always looking for some new angle and they joined up with the Avodah Zarah. And the women always stick more to tradition than the men. So that's why traditionally we assume the women don't need a yarmulke, and the women don't need the Limud HaTorah to develop Avas Hashem. Women are usually looking towards the past, generally speaking, and they're more rooted in tradition. So the women will have a natural inclination to Avas Hashem and a more natural inclination to Yiras Hashem. That's what Rabbi Hirsch explains in one of his essays. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes about the movement in recent years that a lot of the women want to study Gemara. So he says, is that a wonderful phenomenon or is that a terrible phenomenon? So he says it depends what's motivating them to learn Gemara. If they want to register their displeasure with the tradition and they want to complain about the fact that the rabbis were cheating the women of their equal rights, then the learning Gemara is an avera. They're complaining against the tradition. But if they enjoy learning Gemara, they want to volunteer even though they're not obligated to learn Gemara. They want to volunteer as an eni mitzvah v'yosef. So that's wonderful. That's fine. The Gemara says a father should not basal aladam sheilamin is bita Torah. A father should not send his daughter to a school where they have the same curriculum as they have for the boys. It's not a smart idea. The boys we want to train that they should learn Gemara. They should later on continue learning Gemara throughout their life. But women, we want women to get married and to raise a family and to do other things. Men and women have different roles in life. So it's not a smart idea to send a girl, a father shouldn't send his daughter to the school, but have the same curriculum as they would have for boys. But if the girl is an older girl, there's a commentary on the bottom of the tour that's called the Prisha, the Drisha Prisha. So the Prisha has this comment. The Gemara never said anything about an older girl. The Gemara is talking about a young child. The father is deciding where to send his daughter to school. So the father should not send his daughter to a school where they're going to have the same curriculum as the boys. But if the woman is already married, she's already an older person, she's choosing which college to go to and what topic to major in. So it goes on to head. She wants to learn Gemara, fine. As long as she's not doing it to rebel, to register her complaint against the tradition. If that's what motivates her to learn Gemara, so that's considered an aver. Chavetz Chaim originally was opposed to the Beis Yankov movement. And when he went, when Sarah Schneira first started the Beis Yankov movement, so he went to attend a meeting and he asked the boys in the yeshiva they should all say tilim, that he should be matzliach to do away with the Beis Yankov movement. Then when he attended the meeting and it was explained to him that where these people lived it was necessary to have much more education for the girls. They didn't have any religious education. So he gave in and he said that they were right. And in his commentary on the end of Masech HaSoto, the Chavetz Chaim wrote an imitation riff. We don't have the riff on all the Masechtas. We don't have on Kotchim, we don't have any riff. And on Sota, there's no riff. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote Likuti Halochas. The riff is called Hilchas Harav Alfas. So the Chofetz Chaim made an imitation of a Rif, and he has his own commentary on the bottom of the page. Zevach Toida. Chofetz Chaim was known as a holy tzaddik, but it was also a great good. He didn't write the Mishnah Brura, he was the general editor of the Mishnah Brura. He had input in the Mishnah Brura also, but his Svarim on Likutei Halachos, his commentary on his imitation Rif, is his, that he wrote himself. So in his commentary on the Likutei Halachos on Masechta Sota, that's where he has the famous statement that today the women are reading all kinds of books. And they're going to universities and they're choosing to study Apikursin, so we better educate them. We should have them bedafka, we should have the women learn Torah. You can't say that the issa that they had in the days of Gemara still applies today. We have one of the very important mitzvahs in the Torah is v'halachta b'drachov. When the Rambam lists the mitzvahs in descending order of importance, he in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, first mitzvah has is to believe in God, second mitzvah is to believe there's only one God, then he has Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And mitzvah 5 is to daven. Then he has very early, I think it's mitzvah 8, is v'halachta b'drachov. What does it mean to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lehi damos eilav, to imitate. Why should you imitate God? Sometimes you have a little girl imitates her mommy. So she puts on a big hat, a big bonnet, and she wears her the mother's high heels. And she'll put on a shekel or something. She'll make believe that she's a mommy. Someday she'll be a mommy. So she's imitating. A little boy makes believe that he's a doctor. So he puts on a stethoscope and he makes believe he's taking your heartbeat or your blood pressure or whatever. Someday maybe he will become a doctor. Why should we imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's considering retiring and we're interested in the job. Why should we imitate? Why should we try to act as if we are someone whom we are not? You're going to get a nervous breakdown if you try to become someone whom you are not. The answer is we're not imitating someone whom we are not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of us, B'Tzelem Elokim. So the pasuk says, V'halachta b'drachov, you should preserve the midah of Elokus that you have naturally within you. Everyone has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the simple reading in the Mishnah is, in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivri, B'Tzelem Chaviv Nisol Shenikru Bonam Amokim. So the pasuk Pshat is, Chaviv Adam Shenivri, B'Tzelem goes on all people, Jews and non-Jews alike. Some of Harshim say Natsa, some of Harshim say Chaviv Adam only goes on Adam HaRishon. It was created B'Tzelem. And then the Kuzari writes this Inyan Eliki that Adam Rishon had only was transmitted to one of his children, Adam, Shei, Senesh, Kenem, Halala, Yeret, Chanech, and so on, down to Noach, down to Avram Avinu, and then to Yitzchak, to Yankov, and then Yankov was Mitosu Shleima. All of his children had the Inyan Eliki. So the whole concept of Tzelem Elikim is only by the Jews. No longer applies to the Umasot. It used to go on Adam, Shei, Senesh. But it's usually assumed not like that interpretation in Mishnah. It's usually assumed Chaviv Adam, all human beings have. Tzelem Elokim, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Bonam Lamakom. We have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. So we usually assume V'alachta B'drachov means you should preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was created within you when you were born. Every soul, every human being has Tzelem Elokim. So the next pasuk continues to say that's in Parshas Kisavo. V'ro Kalami Ha'aretz, when all the nations of the world will see. Shem Hashem Nikru Alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving your Tzelem Elokim. Shem Hashem Nikru Alecha, the Yoru Mimeko, they will learn from you how to act with Yirah Shamayim. The Gemara has a whole additional interpretation in the Pasuk. The Ruach Kalami Ha'aretz, when the nations of the world will see that we're wearing Tfilin Sharosh, Shem Hashem Nikru Alecha, wearing Tfilin Sharosh, the Yoru Mimeko, they'll be afraid to start up with us. But that's not the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. That's an additional level of interpretation. That's why the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a whole Mivtzah HaTfilin. He wanted all the soldiers in the Israeli army to wear tefillin so the Arabs will be afraid of them. Okay, it's a different story. What's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk? So the Vilna Gaon quotes Mesevra Rishonim. Rova Kalami Hawaits, when all the nations of the world will see Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Rola Gaon. That's what the Navi Yeshaya says. But the prophets, the other Nevi'im, didn't come up with any new ideas that don't appear in the Chumash. The Gemara says in Megillah, every idea that appears in the Nevi'im Ksuvim must appear in the Chumash also. Everything was Nizgala to Moshe Rabbeinu. So this pasuk says that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Or Lagoy. So when all the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that we have succeeded in preserving our Tzelem Elokim, because V'alach Tavidrachav, V'yorim Mimeka, they will learn from us how to act. But the Yerusha Mike. So that's the mitzvah of Halachta B'drachov. So the Rambam writes, both in the Mor Levuchim as well as in the Mishnah Torah, And this is the reason why the prophets, the Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu, all the other Nevi'im, describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order that we should know what are the ways of God. What does it mean, v'halachta b'drachim, to go in the ways of God? What are the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the whole Tanakh describes how God acts. It can't be a real description. It's to the extent that we can understand something. So the Nevi'im are describing, it's not a lie, but it's not 100% true. It's not exactly. It's a derech hamashal. It's a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu act? That we should know how we should preserve our tzelem alekim. So one of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he is a kel mistate. That's a pasuk in Yeshaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in hiding. Once in a long while he does a gilui shechina. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai there was gilui shechina. On the occasion of Makkos Becheres there was gilui shechina. On various occasions. But basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to do gilui shechina. He's compromising his tznius. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater, he hides. And because we were all created, the Tzelem Elokim, so we're all supposed to preserve this Tzelem Elokim by acting in a fashion of tznius. So what does it mean, tznius? So a lot of people make a mistake. They think tznius means that women have to dress with long sleeves and long dresses. That's one aspect of tznius. But there's more to the story than that. The mitzvah tznius applies to the men and to the women. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in hiding. He does such a good job at hiding. There's so many people that don't even think that he's there. So many because they don't think there is a kel mistater. So we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom is there and he's hiding. So we are all instructed to lead an anonymous life, a private life. Some people, when they come into shul, they come into class, they sit in the front row, and they always have to scream out loud, and they wear a red sweater, an orange sweater. Everybody should know that I'm here. So that's b'farhesi, as opposed to tzinah. We should all act in accordance, we should all preserve the tzelem of a kingdom that we have within us by acting in a fashion of tznius. Tznius means b'tzinah, as opposed to b'farhesia. There's a medrash like that, that the Luchos Rishonis were given with tremendous fanfare, kolos habrokim, a lot of noise. And the Luchos Shniyos, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, and Yom Kippur was quiet, no more kolos habrokim. So the first Luchos, because they were given, kolos habrokim, that's why Sholta Behem Ein Ra, and Ein Hora was Shoilet, and they were smashed. The Luchos Shniyos, because they were given Bitzina, so the Ein Hora wasn't Shoilet. So then the medrash concludes, Hola Marata, what's the moral of the story? The best thing is to do things b'tznius. What do you mean tznius? Someone was half undressed. No, it means to do things b'tzin as opposed to b'farhesi. The word tznius means to do things b'tzin. So once in a while we have to compromise on the tznius. Once in a while, just like the Ribbono Shalom, every so often compromises on his tznius. He acts in a fashion, he makes a gilui shechina. So once in a while we have to have a king. You have to have a government, you have to have a mayor, you have to have a rabbi teaching. I'm always talking b'farhesia. I hardly have any privacy at all. Most of my life is b'farhesia. So you have no choice. Sometimes people have to compromise on it. So the Tanoim have a drosh on the pasuk, Santos Malach Melech, Melech Velo Malko. Even though the king is going to be compromising on his tzinius, he's going to be a public figure, policemen, and so on. A lot of people act in public as public figures. So the halacha says that we should encourage the women, they should lead a life of tznius even more so than the men. The women should not be called upon to compromise on their tznius. Even though the men sometimes have to compromise, we want the women not to compromise. So the Gemara has another comment on that pasuk. Mekerav achecha tosim alach melech. What do you mean, mekerav achecha? So the Gemara says in Yevamos, mimuvcha she'b'achecha. You should not appoint a ger to the position of melech Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, because he's not mimulcha shebachecha. Then the Gemara says, not only is that true regarding Melech, the top position of Soror in Klal Yisrael, it's even true, let's say, to appoint a ger as the president of a union. Let's say you have a laborer's union, the engineers who drive the trains for the MTA. So if you have a whole group and you're going to appoint a ger, the head of the union, so the Gemara says that's a violation of this din, because the Pasuk says, a kefaloshin sang tosim, Kol Masim is b'mashma, goes on all appointments, any position of Sarara. And it says, Mikerav Achech, Mimuvcha Shebachecha, to the exclusion of a Ger. Ger should not only not be appointed as the Melech, should be appointed to any position of Sarara. So the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, when he quotes these dinim from the Gemara, puts two and two together. So he says, Zayim Tosim Malachim Melech, Melech Eloi Malko, and it says, Zayim Tosim Keif Eloshim. So it goes called Mesimais. So you shouldn't appoint a woman not only as the Melech, you shouldn't appoint a woman as the president of the shul. You shouldn't appoint a woman as the president of a union if you have men and women together. If you have a group of women, a women's club, so you can appoint a woman as the president of all of the women. But if you have an organization that has men and women, it's not right to appoint a woman to be the head of the organization. There used to be years ago, I don't know, maybe they still have an organization, the Association of Orthodox Jewish Scientists, AOJS. So they used to have Nora Smith, Miss Nora Smith, she was a single girl. She was the president of the organization. So he asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein if they're allowed to appoint her. So he asked, what does the position consist of? So the position meant that she has to do all the work. She has to raise all the money, she has to write all the letters, she has to send all the letters out. So that's not, there's no position, there's no svara there. Just she's the secretary who doesn't get paid any money. She does all the volunteer work. So that's not a svara. That's a job. So Rabbi Moshe thought that's not a problem. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he disagreed with Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik said we should follow that Rambam, that it's not proper to appoint a woman as the president of the shul, because that's a position of sorority. In fact, there was a rabbi who was in a Musma from the yeshiva who was very close to Rav Soloveitchik, because his father learned by Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik first became a rebbe in the yeshiva in the early 1940s. So this rabbi was rabbi in a shul in St. Louis. And he called Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Balabatim want to appoint a woman as the president of the shul. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said he should explain to them that it's against the din, you're not allowed to. So the Balabatim didn't listen. They did appoint a woman as the president of the shul. So the rabbi called Rabbi Soloveitchik, what should I do? So he said, you have to resign from your position. The rabbi resigned. He now was in business. He does very well in business. He gives much, much money to tzedakah. He's very successful in business. He's a shutuf with multi-millionaires, but we lost him from the rabbi. He used to be a rabbi. Rav Soloveitchik told me he should resign. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees. He thinks that even though this is clearly the Shittas HaRambam, Rav Moshe has a whole tshuva, he thinks that it's permissible to point women to any other position other than Melech. Zantos HaMelech HaMelech Melech HaLamalka, that's in the Sifrei. And it's not the same as Ger. Ger, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to point even to be the president of the laborers' union. But women, he brought a lot of rice. He thinks that we shouldn't pass him like that, Ram. It was humorous that the Yes Rav Soloveitchik, when Golda Meir was appointed Rosh HaMemshalah, said, Yes Rav Soloveitchik, was that permissible to appoint the Golda Meir as the Rosh HaMemshalah? He says, you're not allowed to appoint a woman to be the president of the shul. So Rav Soloveitchik's response was, and Ben-Gurion was permissible. He was an apikaris. He wasn't allowed to appoint Ben-Gurion either. They're not consulting the Mizrahi. Rav Soloveitchik was the honorary president of the Mizrahi for many years. They said they didn't consult the Mizrahi. So Rav Moshe Feinstein pinned to the tshuva that we shouldn't pass him. We don't have to pass him like this Rambam. He thinks that most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. A woman may be appointed to a position of Sorority. So when Golda Meir was appointed Rosh HaMemshalah, so there were wise guys who said, it's all the fault of Rav Moshe Feinstein, because he said, he pinned to the tshuva, that it's mutter. So Rav Moshe was such a holy tzaddik, he was such a tmimizdik person. Those who knew him, he was unbelievably tmimizdik. He didn't know what sin was. If you describe a homosexual, a man having an affair with someone else's wife, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. He wouldn't be teufelsig. He had no hasoga, what it means to be corrupt. The people who had smicha from Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they were in the rabbi, and they had to deal with the real issues like this, homosexuals and ashes. Shizinsa had to go to Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky. They couldn't go to Rabbi Moshe. He just wouldn't understand what you're talking about. So they attacked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. It's his fault that they appointed Golda Meir. So he wrote a whole tshuva to say, it's not my fault. They didn't consult me. They don't read my tshuvas. I have nothing to do with the decisions. That was, at the Shaita, that was very humorous. Some of the women feel they're being cheated. In the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the women felt bad. The din is when you bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, so if it's a man who brings a korban, there's a mitzvah smicha. He has to lean with both hands on the animal. If it's a woman, there's no din of smicha. That's the second pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra. about Bnei Yisrael, lo Bnei Yisrael, that women don't do smicha. So the women felt cheated of the mitzvah of smicha. So there was a big debate bizman b'yisheni during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, would we permit a woman to do imitation smicha? That's why it says in our Girsa in the Gemara. Some Rishonim didn't have that Girsa. The Meiri, the Chachmei Provanz, the Rabbi, they had a different Girsa. But the way it says in our editions of the Gemara, there was a machlekes bizman b'yisheni, would we permit the women to do imitation smicha? What an imitation? Real smicha, supposed to lean on the animal b'chol kocho, to the extent, not just to put your hands on, to the extent that if you'll take the animal away, the person will fall down. Mamish to lean on the animal. So that's only permissible if you're mechuyev to. If you're not mechuyev to do smicha, women are not mechuyev. So there's an isa l'safi b'v'chor sharech v'l'sogaz b'chor tzenecha. There's an isa, the Gemara calls it isa giza v'avoida. You're not allowed to shear up the wool, l'sogaz b'chor tzenecha, l'safi b'v'chor sharech, you're not allowed to do avoida. So to lean on an animal b'chol koichai, is an Issa. So there was a machlekes bizman b'yisheni, would we permit the women to do imitation smicha, just to have the hands float on top of the animal? The Gemara's lashon is akufi yadaychum, have your hands float on top of the animal, but not to lean b'chol koicha. So half of the Tanoim held, some of the Tanoim held that's not permissible, because chashin Hashem over the day takola, the women may think that they can do smicha the same as the men. They'll lean on the animal, and it'll be body day takola, they'll be in violation of the sa'adah b'chol sharecha. Tosfos says, Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi lived years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, but this was a Machlokes Bizman Bayis Sheni. So Bizman Bayis Sheni was accepted by Halacha like Rabbi Yossi, Nashim Samchus Rishus, that we would permit the women to do smicha, because we're not concerned about Chashin and Shemi over the day Takol. You're not concerned. Sometimes the Gemara talks about imitation mitzvahs. When do you permit one to do an imitation mitzvah, when not? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Gemara, let's say 1 year there are no esrogim available. So should we use a lemon and shake dalim minim? Kadesh shalotush takrach taris dalim minim? People shouldn't forget that there's a mitzvah of dalim minim. So we should use a lemon, do imitation dalim minim, and not say a bracha on it. So the Gemara says that's not a smart idea. If you're going to use a pasul, a lemon, not going to use an esrog, next year people will think that you can use a lemon, and that'll be bolei de takal. That's a Gemara. Then in Shulchan Aruch they have a discussion. What if in your village there's no shofar? The only shofar that's available is a pasul shofar. Would you recommend they should blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah with the pasul shofar, kadesh lo tishtakach Torah shofar, or not? So in Shulchan Aruch, that's what all the Achrayim say. We're afraid, Shem Yavah the day takol. It's not a smart idea. Next year the people will get a shofar, they will have available a kosher shofar. They'll think that this plastic shofar, or this pasul shofar is acceptable, so it's not a smart idea. So that was a debate that they had in the days of the Tanoim. Is it advisable? Is it a smart thing or a stupid thing to have women do imitations? Today, a lot of the women feel bad that they can't daven for an omelet. They can't learn Kriya Sator. I have no desire to daven for an omelet. When I have yard site for my parents, I have no choice. I have to daven for an omelet. I have no desire at all to daven for an omelet because it's really a violation of tznius. Someone has to compromise on his knee. Someone has to daven for an omelet, but I'd rather let it be someone else. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in getting aliyahs. Let someone else get an aliyah. Whoever gets an aliyah is doing something for Hesia. So I'd rather avoid getting an aliyah. They every so often, they give me an aliyah. Okay, I have no choice. When I go somewhere, I'm a guest somewhere. So they like to give me aliyahs. But I have no desire to get aliyahs, and I have no desire to daven for an omelet. And it's not right that the women have such a desire. They got it from the men. The men have such an improper desire. You look around, there's always some guy, every week he has to daven for an omelet. This week he has yahrzeit for his grandfather. Next week he has yahrzeit for his mother-in-law. Then he has yahrzeit for his great-uncle. Then he has yahrzeit for his parent. Every week they have yahrzeit. Every week they have to get maftir. Everyone should hear them sing. The whole desire is an improper desire. That the person wants to daven out loud, everyone should hear it. That's exactly b'frahesia as opposed to b'tzinnah. So this negative, this bad attitude that many men have was picked up by the women. That the women also want to daven for an omelet. They also want to learn Kriya Sator. They also want to get aliyahs. The whole attitude is an improper attitude. The Gemara says in Megillah that strictly speaking, the Mishnah says a woman can get an aliyah. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, strictly speaking, a woman can get an aliyah, but we don't allow it mishum kavarat tzibur. What does it mean mishum kavarat tzibur? So the Pasha Pshat is, whoever is going to get the aliyah is going to be compromising on his tznius. Because he's saying the brachas b'frahesian, he's saying the kriyas hatar b'frahesian. So more correct is that no one should get an aliyah. No one should like that. Someone has to. There's a takanas chacham. So somebody has to compromise on that thing. So whenever someone has to compromise, we say sometimes malacha melech, melech loy malko. Even though the men are sometimes called upon to compromise on the tznius, the women, we want the women to try to have more of a tznius dik hanhoga. They should try to do everything but sin as opposed to b'perhesi. If bottom line, no one knows how to lane, so you'll have to get a woman to lane kriyas ha-Torah. But that's a violation of kavod ha-tzibur. You're indicating that there are no men who know how to lane. Because if there are men who know how to lane, why did he call upon the woman to compromise on her tznius? So that's what the poshup shat in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. That Mark quotes a brisa. The Mishnah says a woman may get an aliyah. We don't permit it mipnei kavod ha-tzibur because you're forcing the women to give an aliyah. You're forcing the woman to compromise on her tznius. Means that there's no man who can lane. So that's a violation of kavod ha-tzibur. As if the men don't know enough how to lane. Some of the women have this attitude. They want to have equal rights. So every other week, the husband says Kiddush and Abdallah and Hamaitz, and every other week the wife says Kiddush and Abdallah and Hamaitz. So some people who live in Boston claim that this was approved by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik would never approve that. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that a woman should always avoid saying her own Abdallah. There's a machlekes in Rishonim where the women are obligated to hear Abdallah or not. So we always recommend a woman should listen to a man say Abdallah. A woman shouldn't say her own Abdallah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik for sure didn't approve of such a practice. People want to say, they say whatever they want to say. A woman is pasala edus. So some women take this as an indication that the rabbis looked down upon the women and they thought that they were halfwits. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, when people raised this issue by him, how come the rabbi said a woman is pasala edus? He would always respond, you know, the melech ha-mashiach will be pasala edus min ha-Torah. That's a Gemara. Melech is pasala edus min ha-Torah. Pashup shot in the Gemara. The Rambam has a different shot, but that's the Pashup shot. So he said, just because someone is Pashlaitis doesn't mean that he's a Cherushot to be cotton, doesn't mean that he's a halfwit. The Melech HaMashiach is supposed to be a very high level of a Navi, a very intelligent person, and he's still Pashlaitis. And then Rasulvetchik added on what it says in Chassidish Svarim. He didn't say it in the name of Chassidish Svarim, but it's printed there. It could even be that the reason why the women are Pashlaitis is for the same reason that the Melech is Pashlaitis. The different explanations, why is a melech pasalaitis? So Rashi, in his commentary on the Gemara, beginning of the last parak in Yuma, Rashi writes that you cannot demand of a melech, usually there's a dinim lo yagid ben asavayin. If a person was witness to some crime, a witness to a halvo, a witness to a hezek, and he knows what to testify, and he withholds his testimony, that's an aver, im lo yagid ben asavayin. Whoever can help out in the case is muchiv to step forward and give, offer the testimony. So the Gemara seems to imply that a melech is not bound by that din im lo yagid. It's a pchisas hakovid for the melech that he should be obligated to stand in front of the bezin to testify. The bezin will sit and the melech has to stand. So that's a pchisas hakovid. So Rashi learns in the Gemara, why is a melech pasul le'edus? Only such a person is kosher le'edus if he's obligated to testify. He's mechuyev to testify, subject to the delav im lo yagid menas avayna. Then he can accept his testimony. If it's optional, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to, so you can't accept the testimony of such a person. Rav Soloveitchik said, and this appears in Chassidish Yisrael, it could well be that that's the reason why the women are postulators also. That is a chisus hakovid for the women. You should have the right to demand of them. You must appear in the Besdin. Usually years ago, the women were led private lives, called Kvuda Bas Melech Panima. The women stayed home. They didn't walk around in the streets. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in the Chayshim Mishpah, they quote that the practice of the Rimagash was, the Rimagash was a student of the Rif and the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon. The Rambam writes, he met the Rimagash once and he gave him a bracha, he matzliach on learning. He attributes his success in learning to the bracha that he got. He said the Rimagash was a super genius, he knew everything. So the Rimagash is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as having commented, he had to practice whenever there would be a din Torah and one of the parties would be a woman, he wouldn't insist that the woman should appear in the Bezdin office. He would convene the Bezdin in her home so she wouldn't have to leave her home. The women felt uncomfortable leaving their home. So they said, okay, we'll convene the Bezdin in your home. We'll give in to you. So this is what it says in Chassidish Yisroel also. Perhaps the reason why the women are Pasul Eidus is the same reason why the Melech is Pasul Eidus. You can't say that the women are mechuyev to testify, because maybe it's a violation of tznius. So whoever is not mechuyev to testify, there's no im lo yagid. So even if they want to volunteer, it'll be pasul eidus. Rashi learned that's the reason why the melech is pasul eidus. We have halacha that the girls become bas mitzvah at the age of 12 and the boys become bar mitzvah at the age of 13. So by reform, by many reform, they say they want equality for the women, so the women don't become bas mitzvah until the age of 13. This is ridiculous. You know, biologically, the fact is that a girl's brain reaches its maximum size at the age of 12, and a boy's brain reaches maximum size almost a year later, 12 and 3 quarters, when he's almost 13. And the Tanoim knew this. The Tanoim knew biology. And that's why they determined, then it's not fully developed yet, but the dates of the age of 12 and 13 corresponds to when the brain becomes more mature. So they consider that equal rights for the women. The women should have equal rights. What do you mean equal rights? The Gemara said the reason why the women become bas mitzvah a year before, because bina yisera nasan kadosh baruch hu isha, yosem minu ish, says, b'yi ben Hashem alkim asat zela, bina yisera nasan kadosh baruch hu. So it's a busha, it's an embarrassment to say the women should only become bas mitzvah when they reach 13. The Gemara says it's a maila that the women become bas mitzvah a year early. So they're foolish. I don't see how the balabatim fall for it. They think that that's considered giving the women equal rights. The din is that a woman cannot write Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and a mezuzah. Even though a woman is chayv and mezuzah, she cannot write her own mezuzah. There's even an opinion she cannot even nail a mezuzah on the door. We don't accept that opinion. That's far out. We say the woman is psula for ksivas mezuzah. This is based on the assumption the Gemara has in the beginning of the Yevamos that in the other four chumashim, Bereishis through Bamidbar, we don't darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. If you have two psukim, the one next to the other, that's called smuchim. So in chumash dvar we darshan smuchim. So in kriya shma, you have two psukim that are next to each other. So the Gemara says only one can write a mezuzah who is obligated to put on tefillah. Women, since the women are not mechuyev in tefillin, so they're puzzled for ksivas ha-mezuzah. So when traditionally in Europe, when a community every 50 years or so they would have a hachnasa sefer Torah, the community put together money and they would pay a sefer, they would commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So the men would fill in oisius at the end, the last few lines in the sefer Torah. And the women can't fill in oisius. That's halacha. If a woman writes a sefer Torah, it's possible. So the fair shadin and imar. So in some communities they had the practice, the women knew how to stitch. So the women would stitch together the ureas of the sefer Torah. Pischit Shuvah quotes this practice in Yeridei Hilcha Sefer Torah. He says it's not really proper because that's a big machlokes in Rishayim, whether an isha is only psula for ksiba sefer Torah or she's psula for all tikkuni sefer Torah. So more proper is to be machman, not to allow the women even to stitch the ureas together. So the women should make the mental of the sefer Torah. Okay, they know how to stitch, so let them make the cover of the sefer Torah. That's not an issue. What is the basis of the din that a woman is psula for ksivas amzuzah? If the woman is mechuyev in mezuzah, so that Rabbi Natan explains, whenever you need lishma, whoever is zeinah b'toras cannot create lishma. Shmura matzah has to be baked lishma for Pesach. Traditionally in Europe, for many generations before they made machine matzahs, the women always made the shmura matzah. So the mazel is that the women are mechuyev in matzah, even though it's a mitzvah says in shazman groman, that's an exception to the rule. So the women are mechuyev in matzah. So since the women are mechuyev, they can create lishma. A non-Jew is not mechuyev in matzah, or a child before bar mitzvah is not mechuyev. So they cannot create lishma. Mezuzah, the women are mechuyev in, but the women are not mechuyev in tefillin. So a woman cannot write tefillin, because whoever is in the Torah cannot create lishma. So then the pasuk puts together, say, for Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah has the same din. So whoever is puzzled, for ksivas at tefillin, namely the isha is psula, because she's not mechuyev in tefillin, whoever is not mechuyev, whoever is zeinah b'toras can't create lishma, and since ksivas mezuzah has the same dinim as ksivas tefillin, so the woman is psula for ksivas and mezuzah as well. The time tzitzis, also the Rabbi Natan holds that a woman is psula for kshiras atzitzis, because the Rabbi Natan, there's a machlokes, the Rambam and Tosafot, the Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that when you tie on the chutei hatzitzis on the beged, you have to tie it on lishma. So women are potter from tzitzis. We pass from tzitzis because it is a mitzvah sesesh as mangro. other Tanaim hold it's not a mitzvah seser shas marama. It's by yom or by laila. We pass, and it's only by yom and not by laila. So it's a mitzvah seser shas marama. So women are potter. So that's why we're machmer like the Rabbeinu Tam. Since women are potter from the mitzvah tzitzis, they're not the Torah, so they cannot create lishma. So a woman, or the same thing, a child before by mitzvah, is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of tzitzis, not mechuyev in any mitzvahs from that Torah. It's only chinuch midrabbanim. So a child before by mitzvah shouldn't tie the tzitzis onto the beged. Whoever is zayin b'toras cannot create lishma. All the halachas that the people picked on, you see that the women have a lower level. It's not have a lower level. Each halach has a different reason. They painted a whole picture. They put together, mixed together kashim etman. They mixed together things that have no shaykhs with each other, and they depicted this whole story. Rabbi Hirsch writes in one of his essays in Chorev that the apikrusim were always making fun of the rabbis and the Talmud. That how do you know that you can get married with kedusha kesef? Kedusha Shtar is a different pasuk. Kedusha Bi is a different pasuk. I don't know there exists an institution of Kedusha Kesef. So as long as Kicha Kicha Mizdei Ephraim, it says Avram Avinu bought a field, and it says Kicha Chishisha, Vayikach is Kol Arts Amiyoda. So it says Kicha Kicha. That's how you know. So that because it would make fun of the Gemara, the rabbis view buying a wife, the farmer buys a wife like the farmer buys a field. That's it. You buy a wife like you buy a field. So Rabbi Hirsch says that that's ridiculous. Because there's a Taz in Chosh Mishpat. The Taz says that Kinyan Kesef, when you buy a field, Kinyan Kesef doesn't mean you're paying the value of the field. You don't pay the value of the field. It's not Kesef Piron, it's Kesef Kinyan. It's a symbolic act. And he proves that this is the case, because Kedusha Kesef by an Isha is learned out from Karka's Niknas B'Kesef. So Kedusha Isha, you're not paying the value of the woman. Either she's worthless or she's priceless, which is not worth a pruta. A woman is not worth a pruta. So it's just a Kesef Kinyan, it's a symbolic act. Why did the rabbis, the Rabbi Hirsch adds on, why did the rabbis learn out Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron? So he has Al Derech Hadrash. He says, look how much Avram Avinu loved his wife and how much he respected his wife. That even after she died, he went and he spent a fortune of money to buy a Bekovedika burial place for his wife. Arba Meir Shekel Kesef Avela Secher. He wouldn't bury his wife anywhere else. He loved his wife so much, even after she died, he spent so much money. So the rabbis wanted we should learn out Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. We should all love and respect our wives like Avraham Avinu loved and respected his wife. But it's not that the rabbis viewed buying a wife like buying a field. You pay the value of the girl, and now she belongs to you. The husband doesn't have a kinyan on his wife. It's kesef, it's a symbolic act. It's what we call kesef kinyan, as opposed to kesef piron. There's a lot of misunderstanding and misrepresentation. Some shaking, some amaze it, and people are learning yeshiva should know what the story is. Okay? Thank you very much. This is yours. Thank you.